BFBS, the Forces Station.
I saw I joined the army in 2000, and I went to Arbourfield Apprentice College. Went to Phase 2 training, which was with the Royal Engineers at Royal Barracks. After there, I was an electrician in the Royal Engineers, and then I got posted out to Germany, where I spent 8 years. From there, I'd served in Northern Ireland. We covered the firefighter strikes, which was quite interesting. We had the Yellow Goddesses, I don't know if you remember that back then, in Northern Ireland. From there, I was sent out to Brunei Jungles, trained up by some of the SES guys there to be enemy for the Gurkhas. It was an amazing 9 years of my life. And I think the best 6 months was probably being posted out to Kenya, where, I got to enjoy the wildlife, an incredible time.
And hopefully your time out there with all the wildlife wasn't your inspiration for a pest control company. But how did that idea come about for you to go on to do this?
I worked in private security for 6 years after the military, and that was out in Syria, you know, Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, you name it, we were out there. And a very good friend I went through basic training with, Michael Coates, he does a podcast called Declassified. He said to me, why don't you come and give it a go being a pest controller in London? So I left the private security world. It was actually quite interesting. You get little wins trying to, you know, help Mrs. Smith with her mice and, you know, big businesses. And being an ex-military guy, I mean, it helps massively with huge corporations. Like, we're on a contract with Sony just because of the ex-military thing. Really think, right, we trust this guy to get the job done.
And it sounds like you've done pretty well on the travelling as well, including recently a little trip to Antigua when you joined The Apprentice. Did you have any idea you'd be filming the first episode of the season out there?
Yeah, we got given a menu, and it was from something like a restaurant called Shark and Burger. So I had the internet with me at the time, so I thought, what I'll do, I'll have a quick look and see where these Shark and Burgers are. And there was two. There was one up in Newcastle, and there was one at Gatwick Airport. So I knew that something was going to be going on near Gatwick Airport. So I didn't know it'd be the Caribbean. And I think there's been quite a few little memes and things on Twitter where everyone else got excited, and I just tried to sit there and try and play it cool. I didn't want to start whooping and hollering, going, you know, look, I'm professional in the boardroom, because that's all Lord Sugar wants to see. So I just thought, well, just play it cool, you know, and just sort of sit there and sort of try and look quite serious. And we got outside the boardroom, and we just started all jumping around, going, we're going to the Caribbean. So nervous, sort of on that beach, and you see Karen Brady for the first time. You think, God, there's the director of football at West Ham Football Club, and you've got to try and act professional. And we're thrown in this situation. All our communication devices are taken off us. No contact with the outside world. You're with complete strangers, all of who own their businesses. And you're just trying to muddle through as best you can to try and get this task done. And I think we did a good job.
And how did you get on with the other candidates?
Throughout the whole process, I got on extremely well with everyone. I mean, in task one, it wasn't really highlighted too much, but me and Simba were at each other's throats a little bit over the selling of the tickets. So I dropped the ticket prices down to 100. We had 10 minutes left and we had to get rid of 7 tickets, and Simba wouldn't drop it. And I said, that's it, I'm making a decision, we're dropping it to 100. And it's what you didn't see in the boardroom, Karen and Lord Sugar, they just kept going for me. And I even turned around to Reese at one point, one of the other candidates, and said, I'm gone. I think I'm gone. Just because they kept hammering me. And I think it was all to do with the test to see how I'd react. And I think I fouled a little bit. But other than that, I got on well with every single candidate. We had such a great time in the house. And we speak every day. I mean, I was just on the phone to one of the guys then. And it's such a nice sort of thing. And I think it's all to do with having our communication devices taken off. You have to. It's like being in the military. When you go on operational tours, and back in 2003, I think we were in Afghanistan before the real war kicked off, and we had a sat phone between us. But you get to, you know, sit around, you eat together, you get to know the people around you so much more intimately, I suppose. And that's how you become these huge, you know, friends, and bonds are created. And that's exactly the same as the Apprentice House. You can't speak to your friends and family every day, so you just talk to each other.
Something we're really interested to know: do you genuinely get 20 minutes to get ready?
Oh, this is the big question. The phone will go. Avi, in my room, was a nightmare. He'd go in that shower and he'd have 17 minutes in that shower. Me and Tahal would run down to, like, we'd get a lift down to the basement. It's that big, this house. And have showers in there, run back up. And it is 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes. But in that time, you've got to try and get like a sausage bat that they've got downstairs for you. And always the camera and crew would always take all the sausage ones. All you're left with is either a stringy bacon one or just a... you know, an egg one, which is not the nicest. And then they're saying, right, get out the house, and shoot the bit coming out the house about 5-6 times. And we had a whole neighbor one morning. I woke up on a Sunday morning. I was like, oh, morning neighbor, about 7 o'clock. It's one of our days off. And it was a woman called Gal Gadot. She plays Wonder Woman.
Oh, no.
And I was sort of going, morning. And I said, oh, I was speaking to the neighbor. And they went, oh, yeah, that's Gal. And I was like, who's Gal? I said, oh, it's Wonder Woman. I thought Wonder Woman was about 80 years of age. No, and they showed the crew was showing me pictures. And I was like, oh, my God, I was just talking to her thinking she might have been sort of the cleaner or something.
Wonder Woman.
But yeah, it's quite interesting. I think we had the Arsenal striker Lacazette just up the road from us as well. We see him once.
And I've got to ask as well, how painful did you find the electric bike challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was so funny. I'm surprised the Camelot got any footage, because me and Marnie and Sahal, we were laughing so much. And it was the soldier thing. There was a few names that were thrown in, and I was like, oh, this is going to come back and bite me. Because I was going, let's go for soldier then. Because we went through so many names, and Mark's going to take the hit on this being the ex-soldier, because, you know, he's going to, Marnie was taking the mick out of it. When I got the leather jacket on, which was a woman's leather jacket as well.
Brilliant.
And I just would not fit. And then I had a string vest underneath it. And so I got on this bike and said, rub your hands through. And we were laughing so much. And I think, can you stop laughing, guys? Can you be serious? And then the camera guys and the director said, Mark, would you mind just standing the string vest and going back to the table to sort of finish off the logo? And I was like, look, I'm going to get enough stick from the military community. I can't sit there in a string vest and start designing this logo. And they were like, okay, put your shirt back on.
I think that was a really wise decision on your part.
Oh, I think so. Because even the about the 2 seconds that I was holding the fan in the string vest, the messages coming through, what on God's name is this, Mark? And my family and friends. And I'm like, oh, no.
And do you think any of your skills from the army have helped you out in this process? For example, being able to withstand Karen Brady's stare.
The resilience that you get in the army, you're going through basic training, all the training courses, you get shouted at, and you learn just to sort of sit there. But I think I'd rather have the beastings up and down the football field than having Karen Brady and Lord Sugar grilling me in that boardroom, because it is so awful. But it is scary sitting in that boardroom, and it's freezing cold as well. I think Lord Sugar likes the AC on, because you walk into that boardroom and you're like, oh my God, and you're shivering, and the people behind you stood up for half hour, an hour sometimes. You can see their legs are just shaking.
Lord Sugar's got ice in his veins in that boardroom.
I think so, yeah. But even just when he walked through that boredom zero, you sort of sat there and everyone's shaking with the AC as well as sort of being nervous. And you just see, like, through the glass, this little figure walking through, and you hear his feet going. You're like, oh my God, here he comes.
And what advice would you give to anyone that is looking at going on to The Apprentice?
That's funny. I had someone reach out to me recently, an ex-army guy, and I spoke to him on the phone about it. But if you're going to go on to The Apprentice, you have to be a character in them auditions to get on. So I just stood up and said, right, everyone, pin your ears back. You're looking at the Series 17 Apprentice winner. And everyone laughed. And then straight away, at the 17, 18 of us in there, I think 4 of us got sent to the back of the room, and then we up through the levels. So, got to stand out, be a cheeky chappy. Then they'll like that. BFBS, the Forces Station.